How many of y'all wish y'all could sing? How many of y'all think you can sing? You can. Just not that good. Everybody ready to be excited to be in church today? God bless you. Amen. My name is Miles. I'm pastor of the church. It's an honor to be the pastor of the church. I want to thank you for being here today. Before we start, do we have any people in the military? If you could stand up. If you're in the military, just please stand up so we can give you a hand. Amen. God bless you. Come on, let's give him a big hand. Come on. Amen. Let us officially tell all of you in the military that we 100% appreciate what you do and support you for what you do. And this statement has nothing to do with whether we agree with the war or not. We just appreciate the fact that you're giving your life for us, because we know that 4,000 plus people have died in Iraq, and they come off the plane all the time with no legs, no arms, and it is very sad that people in this country who are actually losing freedoms that you're fighting to keep help us have. But we want to say thank you very much for what you do, and we understand that you're putting your life on the line, literally. And we just thank you. Thank you for that. Amen. Amen. One of our dark secrets of the United States is that we've had in the past a lot of racism, and I've experienced a lot of it, especially growing up back in the 60s and 70s. It's gotten a lot better. And anytime I have an opportunity to undo some of the racist lies that we have and perceptions of people, I do. So I wanted to address one of those today, and it's a very cruel, evil lie against white men, and basically says that white men can't jump. I don't know if you heard that. How many of y'all heard that before? Okay, they made a movie about it. You know, white men can't jump. Well, the reason I bring it up is because, you know, I wanted to just for once and for all put that cruel lie to rest. Because yesterday in the Olympic trials, a white guy won the high jump contest. And actually, I saw three guys qualify, and three of them were white. They didn't show the whole contest. I don't even know if any brothers were in the top six. But the guy who won is a white-haired, blonde-haired guy, and he jumped 7 feet, 5 inches and a quarter. I mean, I was telling my wife this shit. Well, did he have a pole? I said, no, he just ran and jumped over a pole 7 feet, five inches. So, fellas, white guys, you can jump. I believe in you. So anyway, I just figured I'd throw that little Olympic trivia on you. And with the Olympics, every time I hear that song, I cry. And every time I watch the Olympics and I hear all these stories of these amazing people who've worked out for years when no one knew them, a young 16-year-old girl is going to the Olympics in the 1,500 meters. She has hair all the way down past her waist, and just little itty-bitty girl. And right before the race, I tell you, I really cry when I think about this stuff. She was at the starting line doing this with her hands. Just nervous, and she's going to the Olympics, and it's just amazing to see what people do when they just believe in their dream. And I want to encourage you. And God is the one who has given us the ability to dream and imagine and pursue. And God's the one who's going to encourage you. So I want to encourage you today. Whatever that is, go for it. And with this Olympic season, you know, watch the stories and learn about the people, and get inspired, because these are regular people with big hearts who just said, "I'm going to put all on the line." For the Olympics. And sad, some people get hurt in the trials. A couple guys in the track meet yesterday got hurt, and the Olympic dreams are gone. Just from one race, they got pulled up a muscle. One guy just had a cramp. He's one of the fastest guys in the world, and he had a cramp, and he's not going to run the 200 meters. But so it's just a season of a lot of drama and life dramas. So watch it for that as well as the competition. Anyway, let's see your Bibles this morning. One more time, let's see your Bible, say word. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Okay, you can put all that away. We're going to have a quiz. Just, you can put it all away. You want to have your hands free because we're going to be doing some stuff with our hands this morning. How many of you have never been in one of our quizzes? Raise your hand. We won't say anything, do anything to you. Wow, wow. Okay, here's how the quiz works. It's very simple. Okay, very simple. I ask you a question. If you know the answer, you say it back. If you don't worry about it. I'm going to give you the answer. And then after I give you the answer, I'm going to ask you the question again and just say it. Understand this. Your subconscious mind is quicker than your conscious mind. Your brain already knows a bunch of stuff you don't realize you know. And so just open your mouth, let words come out. If you're wrong, no one's going to know it because we're going to be on to something different anyway. And it's going to be fast, boom, fast and furious. Don't worry about making a mistake. If I make a mistake, laugh. We're here to have fun. I'm secure like that. It doesn't matter. And I'm going to make mistakes. Sometimes I'll make them on purpose just to get you to laugh because you may need a laugh. But it's interactive. I'm going to ask you to do stuff with your hands. Matter of fact, let's cheer for all the people who can't hear us right now. You don't need to cheer because they can't hear you. Just okay, very good, very good. Let's tell them Jesus loves them. Jesus. Jesus. Nails in the hand. Love. Point. Okay, very good. Okay, here we go. Okay, here we go. Look at the person next to you, say, I'm ready. This is interactive. Everyone say Jesus. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Okay, we're in the book of 1 Samuel. What book are we in? What Samuel? How many are there?
Two.
There's 1 and 2 Samuel. There used to be one book. Now it's two. Used to be one book. We're in the book of 1 Samuel. First what?
Samuel.
1 Samuel. The title of the series is called From 2. Everyone say From 2. Because in this book, the leadership of Israel goes from judges to kings. The leadership in this book goes from, this is judges, from what? This is kings. The leadership in the book of 1 Samuel, the leadership of Israel goes from
judges
to
kings.
Now, the period of the judges was 300 years. How many years?
300.
How many years?
300.
Say it three times.
300.
Say it 300 times. No, I'm kidding. Okay. The book of the judges period started when Joshua died. When who died?
Joshua.
And it ended when they had the first king, who was Saul. Who was the first king?
Saul.
So the judges period went 300 years. How many years?
300.
From the death of who?
Joshua.
From the death of who? To who became king?
Saul.
Very good. There's three main characters in 1 Samuel. Samuel, Saul, David. Everyone say Samuel, Saul, David.
Samuel, Saul, David.
Say with my hand.
Samuel. Saul, David.
Very good. Say it backwards.
David, Saul, Samuel.
Very good. Samuel was the last legitimate judge. Saul was the first king. Saul was the first what?
King.
First what?
King.
David was the greatest king. David was the greatest what?
King.
Very good. David killed a giant name. Very good. Okay, the three main characters are? Very good. And the book of 1 Samuel is a transition from the leadership of Israel being to? Very good. It's also a transition from being influenced by God to being influenced by man. Say, influenced by who?
God.
To be influenced by who?
Man.
The reason that is because God arbitrarily picked the judges. Once you became a king, usually your son became king and his son, and then sometimes they would murder the son to make someone else king. So even though God did have some influence in the kings, it was mostly a man hierarchical thing. As a matter of fact, Israel divided in two. The north became Israel. The south became Judah. Northern Israel, the northern kingdom, had 19 kings, and they were all bad. Okay, the south had 20 kings, and most of them were bad, like 80% were bad. And so the judges were different. So the book of 1 Samuel, it transitioned from leadership in Israel being to being being influenced by?
God.
To being influenced by?
Man.
Now, Samuel's mother was named Hannah. Say Hannah.
Hannah.
Say Hannah.
Hannah.
She went from being barren. This is barren. Say it again.
Barren.
Say it again.
Barren.
To being fertile.
Fertile.
This is pregnant. This is not Haagen-Dazs. This is baby. Womb. Okay? Hannah went from being
barren
to being. And her son was named?
Samuel.
Yes, this is Samuel's mother. Samuel. Samuel's mother. Okay. Hannah's son was named who?
Samuel.
Hannah's son was named who?
Samuel.
Okay. During the judges' period, the Bible says, Judges 17:6, in those days there was no what in Israel. During the judges' period, there was no what in Israel ruling.
Jesus.
Very good. There was no what in Israel.
Jesus.
And everyone did what was right in their own. Say it with me. Say, in those days there was no king in Israel.
In those days, there was no king in Israel.
Very good. Say it again.
In those days, there was no king in
Say it again.
In those days, there was no need.
And everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Say it again. One more time. Very good. So we're going to say the whole thing. Here's what's going to sound like. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Say it. That's Judges 17:6. You just memorized it. It took you 1 minute. Let's do it again. In those days, pause, think. Everyone? Very good. You got it. Now here's what you're going to do. I'm going to show you how smart your brain is. Now understand, your brain is smarter than you think. Your brain is smarter than you. Okay? Say it backwards. No, I'm kidding. From two. Everyone say from two. When Hannah was trying to pray for, when Hannah was praying for a baby, she couldn't have a baby because she was what? Then she became. So her prayer went from being weak. Say weak. Give me double bicep. Come on now. Give me weak. Give me double bicep. One more time. I need all 100% participation. Say weak. Give me double bicep. Very good. That's good. One more time. How many of you want to go from having weak prayer to how many? Very good. Okay. Okay, so Hannah had a weak prayer. In other words, her prayer wasn't being answered, so she did a few things, and we're going to give you one, two, three words. Number one is benefit. Say benefit.
Benefit.
Say servant.
Servant.
Say changing.
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 Change.
Say benefit.
Benefit.
Say servant.
Servant.
Say changing.
Change.
What Hannah did is she was praying for a son, praying for a son. Then she realized that she needed to tell God how God would benefit if he answered her prayer. How will God benefit if he answers your prayer? In other words, if you're asking for a new car, why should God give you a car? How does that benefit you? Now, what does that got to do with God? Here's what it has to do with God. You are God's servant. Say servant.
Servant.
You need to tell God, God, because I am your servant, if you give me this, I'm going to only pray for things that are going to help me serve you. So I need a car to serve you, and here's how. I need a wife to serve you. How? Because your wife will keep you off the street. Amongst other things. Can I get an amen, ladies? I know it doesn't work all the time because some guys are just hard-headed, but your wife is a benefit to you. You need to know why. You need to know why should God give you a raise. How is it going to enable you to serve him? Say, I am God's servant. Say, servant.
Servant.
You need to tell God, God, here's how you will benefit. I need to acknowledge that I am a servant, and I also need to acknowledge how the delayed answer to my prayer is changing my heart. Say, changing. Three words, say benefit,
benefit.
Say servant,
benefit.
Say changing.
Change.
If I want to go from having what kind of prayer?
Weak.
To having what kind of prayer?
Strong.
Oh, yeah, then give me the biceps, having what kind of prayer?
Weak.
Can you do this with me?
Weak.
Can you do this with me? I don't want to do that at church. This is what we do. Are you ready? I want to go from having what kind of prayer?
Weak.
To having what kind of prayer? I got to tell God how he what for my prayer.
Benefit.
How God what?
Benefit.
And I got to remind myself and God that I am his.
Benefit.
I am his.
Benefit.
And I also have to acknowledge how the delayed answer is what my heart.
Benefit.
Is what my heart.
Benefit.
What my heart.
Benefit.
Very good. We, forget that. Okay. Next one, we got to go from, how do you go from being spiritually deaf to hearing God? Spiritually what? Spiritually what?
Yeah.
To what God?
Yeah.
Spiritually what?
Yeah.
Come on now, give me the ear thing.
Yeah.
No, this is hearing.
Yeah.
Break it down. Come on, pay attention. Spiritually what?
Yeah.
To what God?
Yeah.
How many of y'all want to hear God?
Amen.
You know what? You hear him every day. You already do. You just don't know it. How many of you in the last 24 hours heard something in your voice, some voice in your head say, you need to pray? Raise your hand. How many of you heard something in your voice say, you need to read your Bible? How many of you heard hell say, you need to go to church tomorrow, you need to serve, you need to do something different with your money, you need to forgive that person, go apologize to that person? Any of y'all heard anything like that in the next 24 hours? Raise your hand. Guess who that was? That was God. That wasn't you. Why? You know how? Why it wasn't you? Because we're sinful. We don't want to pray. We don't want to forgive anybody. We don't want to say sorry. We want to be all about us, our sinful nature. God is talking to you. That's God. Well, how do you know? I really don't, but I'm just guessing that anytime you hear a voice that agrees with this Bible, just assume it's God. Just assume it's God, because the Bible says the flesh wars against the spirit. Our flesh, our sinful nature is at war with God. So we're not telling ourselves to do stuff that's godly. It's God telling you. Don't worry, is it really God? Is it really? Just do it. And if you do it, stuff will happen. Three snaps in a circle, it'll be good, okay? If you want to go from being spiritually what?
Yeah.
Give me your hands now. Work it, work it, work it. Spiritually what?
Yeah.
To spiritual what?
Yeah.
Everyone put your hands over your ears. Look around the room. Everyone's doing it. See, you're okay. Okay? If you want to go from spiritually what?
Yeah.
To spiritually what?
Yeah.
Five words. All three starts with a P. Don't worry about that. Say these words with me. Say place,
place.
Time,
time,
pen, paper,
paper.
Bible.
Bible.
Say it again. Say it again.
Place,
try one more time.
Place,
one more time.
Place,
what Samuel had heard when he was a little boy, he was serving a guy named Eli. I want to say Eli. And he heard God speak to him. He heard his name, Samuel. He got up. Said, Eli, did you talk to me? Call me? He said, no, I didn't call you. Go back. He went back to bed. Young boy Samuel heard Samuel. He got up, ran to Eli. Eli, did you call me? Eli said, no, go back to bed. Went back to bed. Third time, Samuel. Went, hey, brother, I'm trying to get tired of you calling me. Eli perceived that Samuel was hearing God. He said, go back, and when you hear that voice, say, speak, Lord, your servant. Say servant.
Servant.
Your servant listens. I'm listening. I'm listening. So he went back. He said, go to your place. So here's my question to you. Where's the place that you go to hear God? Now, you hear him everywhere, but on a daily basis, there should be one place you go every day, preferably, what I do start the day is I'm going to hear God here, in this chair, this rock, in my yard, wherever it is, quiet, no distractions, no phone, no nothing. Pen, Bible, piece of paper, speak to me, God. When you speak, I'm writing it down. Where's your place? And when you hear God tell you something, you write it down no matter what it is. It may be, God may have you confessing sin. We got a whole sermon on how to pray called AWSIPA. Everyone say AWSIPA. And if you go through that acronym, AWCIPA, A is admire God, W is wait, C is confess, I is intercede, P is petition, pray for yourself, A is admire. It's a little acronym. You can pray each letter 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 1 minute, and it'll organize your prayer. You can go to the bookstore and get that tape. But that will help you pray very focused. But whenever God speaks to you, you write it down, whatever it is. And then you do it. Say, do it. If you commit to obeying God, you will have a supernatural life. That is a guarantee from God. If you commit to doing what God tells you to do, you will have a supernatural life. If you commit to waiting for everything to be organized by God, for him to set everything up, you're wasting your time. So you got to trust him. Okay? So, everyone say, place.
Place.
Very good. If you want to go from being spiritually what?
Yes.
Come on, give it to me. Spiritually what?
Yes.
To spiritually what?
Five
words. What's the first one? And then after God speaks to you, you have to what? Right. Let's just say obey, because we're going to do that word again. Say obey.
Obey.
Say obey.
Obey.
Say it three times.
Obey.
Very good. Three more times.
Obey.
Three more times so I can look at what I'm saying next.
Obey.
Very good. Okay. So, what time is it? Okay, we got more time. The ark of God went from being in a place called Shiloh, everyone say Shiloh, to being with the Philistines. The Philistines stole it, okay? And when they stole it, they put it in the temple of Dagon, like dragon without the R. Everyone say Dagon.
Dagon.
The Philistine god was Dagon. Say Dagon.
Dagon.
The Philistine god was who?
Dagon.
The Philistine god was who?
Dagon.
Say it three times.
Dagon.
And when the ark was in the Philistine god, Dagon, they put the ark of the covenant at the feet of Dagon as though it was a trophy of their false god. The next day, Dagon had fallen over, and his hands broke off and his head broke off. And then the people, all the Philistines, got hemorrhoids. It depends on what Bible you have. Some will say hemorrhoids, some will say tumors. And they were infested by rats. Okay, so we're going to say hemorrhoids and rats. Say hemorrhoids and rats.
Hemorrhoids.
Anybody got a rat in their house? Maybe God's cursing you. I don't know. You know, that's what they did. So God cursed them, and they gave the Philistines hemorrhoids and rats. Say hemorrhoids and rats. And so the Philistines do. They made some gold tumors or gold hemorrhoids and gold and rats, and gave it as an offering back to God, like He wanted a gold hemorrhoid. But the Ark of the Covenant was in a place called Shiloh. Say Shiloh. And then the Philistines took it. Who took it? Who took it? And the Philistines were plagued by two things. I don't want to give you a sign for the hemorrhoids one, but what was the first thing they got plagued with? And say hemorrhoids. And they put it in the temple of who? Say Dagon. Say Dagon. Shiloh was the religious center during the time of the judges. Jerusalem now was Shiloh back then. So during the time of the judges, their religious center was what? Their religious center was what?
Shiloh.
Say it three times.
Shiloh.
When the Philistines took the ark, Eli, the priest, died, and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, died because of the bad news. Now, King Saul, everyone say King Saul.
King Saul.
Who was Israel's first king?
Saul.
Say it again.
Saul.
Say it again.
Saul.
Who was the second king?
David.
Say it with confidence.
David.
Say it with confidence.
David.
Who were the three characters in the book of Samuel?
Samuel,
say it again.
The
time of the judges was how many years?
Three.
How many years?
Three.
And it started when who died? You know, if I did that, you would know Joshua. It started when who died?
Joshua.
And it ended when who became king?
Saul.
It came, who became king?
Saul.
Very good. Saul became king, watch this, elect to king reject. Saul went from being king
elect
to king. Saul went from being king
yes.
to being king.
Yes.
What happened was he became king, and Samuel, who was the judge and the man of God that was judging over everything until he became king, he still had influence over Saul. He said, God told me to tell you to go to the Amalekites and kill them all and kill all their animals and don't take anything as spoil or reward. They have a pagan religion. I want them completely annihilated. So Saul, King Saul, goes there and he doesn't kill everything. He even spares the king of the Amalekites and all the good animals they took for themselves. And so he did not what God told him to do. He didn't obey. He did not do what?
Obey.
He did not do what?
Obey.
And so what happened was when Samuel finally came, he came and Saul said, Samuel, I did everything I was supposed to do. And in the background, Samuel can hear, it's the sheep and all the ox and all the animals that the people under Saul's leadership took from the Amalekites. The animals they were supposed to kill. The animals that were dedicated to their pagan god. And so Samuel says, Saul, did you do what God said? He goes, yeah, I did exactly what God said. But then he goes, he said, what's that sound? What's that sound? He said, because you did not obey, God has rejected you. God rejected him because he didn't what?
Obey.
If you want to go from being God's elect to God's reject, and what I mean by that, God has a plan for every single one of you, something that he wants to do through you, something that's bigger than you. And if you want to forfeit that plan and that blessing, don't obey God. But if you want to secure that blessing, you obey God. God has more... He has more pleasure in obedience than sacrifice. In other words, God does not want you to do any favors for him. He just wants you to obey him. In other words, if God wants you to volunteer 7 hours, not 8. If God wants you to volunteer over there only. Don't do God any favors. Why? Because God has your big picture in mind. He knows exactly what he needs to do with all the resources he has given you. So just obey him to what he tells you to do. And if God tells you to go over there and give this much money, you give that much money. If God tells you to go over there and pray for that person, you pray for that person. If God tells you to just listen and don't talk, just listen and don't talk. But would you just do what God tells you to do? So what Saul said, I'm going to do what I want to do. So Saul didn't kill the king like he was supposed to, didn't get rid of all the spoils of the Amalekites like he was supposed to. And Samuel said, you didn't obey. So 4 words we're going to say. Everyone say, back. Say back. Give me a hand motion. Give me a little vibrate. Back. Do it with me one more time. Very good. Okay, so you have to identify what you need to give back. Are you following me? You have something that belongs to God that God told you not to take. There is something in your possession that doesn't belong to you. It could be a physical thing. It could be money. It could be a relationship. It could be credit. Maybe you took credit for something you weren't supposed to. And people think you did it, and you need to tell them God did it. Or you need to tell them that person did it. Give it back. So you need to identify what you need to what? Give what? Give what? You need to say, this is small in your own eyes. Say,
small.
In your own what?
Eyes.
Very good. Samuel said to Saul, Saul, when you were small in your own eyes, it was fine. When you became big in your own eyes, and you got prideful, that's where you have problems. When Saul was first anointed king, he was hiding behind the baggage. I can't do it. Now all of a sudden, he's the man. Doing what he wants to do. So you want to stay what in your own eyes?
Small.
In your own what?
Eyes.
You need to identify what you need to give.
Back.
Give me a hand motion.
Back.
Say it again.
Back.
And you also need to take responsibility for your swoop. Everyone say swoop.
Swoop.
Say swoop.
Swoop. Swoop.
Okay, you need to identify what you need to give.
Back.
You need to stay
small.
In your own. And take responsibility for your? Come on, stay with me now. Very good. Okay. I want to go from having what kind of prayer?
Me.
To having what kind of prayer?
Small.
What kind of prayer?
Me.
What kind of prayer?
Small.
Let me do one more time so I can find what I'm going to say next. Say that.
Me.
One more time.
Me.
You identify how God will what? If you want to go from having what kind of prayer? But double bicep.
Strong.
Give me double bicep. Come on. What kind of prayer?
Strong.
One more time.
Strong.
You need to identify how God will.
Benefit.
Say it again.
Benefit.
Everyone say benefit.
Benefit.
Say it again.
Benefit.
One more time.
Benefit.
You need to acknowledge that you are God's.
Benefit.
You are God's.
Benefit.
And you also have to acknowledge how the delayed prayer is what your heart.
Benefit.
What your heart.
Benefit.
What do I mean by that? Is that if God hasn't answered your prayer, are you getting an attitude or are you praying more? Are you whining and complaining or are you pressing forward with seeking God? So God's delay, and by the way, God's delay is intentional. He is dragging it out. So I want to see what you're going to do. What you going to do? Are you going to whine? Are you going to complain? Are you going to trust him? You don't need what you think you need when you need it, how you need it. God knows what you need when you need it, how you need it. So he's just saying, oh, come on now. Come on. I went fishing last week. I'm not a big fisherman. I probably fished 10 times in my life, maybe. But I went fishing last week, and we fished for two things, halibut and trout. Halibut, you just sit on the bottom and just wait, and then you pull them up. But then we fished for trout, and we had a troll. I'm not a patient person. So I'm like, come on. And so what we did is we, you know, put the lure in the thing and you know, put the thing in the water, and then the boat would just kind of just troll, kind of, and we just drag the stuff in the water. And I know that me talking to the water doesn't have any bearing on whether the fish bites or not, but I did it anyway because it made me feel better. So I'm talking to the fish, come on. Come on. And we're dragging the bait through the water. And what God's going to do, he's going to drag the bait in front of you and say, are you going to chase it? Or are you going to sit there and wait for it to come into your mouth? You got to go get it. And so if you're praying, you got to say, am I getting an attitude? If I'm getting an attitude with God, I am drifting away from the answer. But if I'm seeking God and praying more, I'm pursuing the answer. You have to decide, how's the prayer changing your heart? So if you want to go from heaven, what kind of prayer? What kind of prayer? Let me see biceps. You got to tell God how he will what your prayer.
Amen.
How God will what your prayer.
Amen.
And how the delayed is doing what to your heart.
Amen.
How the delayed is doing what to your heart.
Amen.
And you got to remind God that you are his what?
Sir.
You are his what?
Sir.
For all of us who've never been in the military, one of the things we don't understand is that in the military, there's what they call positional leadership. Is that if someone has a higher rank than you, he is over you, whether you like it or not. I was on a ship the USS Stennis, I got to spend the night. We flew on the ship, landed, spent the night, and then flew back. And our host was a three-star admiral, Mike McCabe. It was several years ago. And he's a very humble guy. You wouldn't, you know, he doesn't walk around like, bow down to me. He's the complete opposite. And but what he had was these three stars on his shoulder that you cannot buy at Kmart. And everywhere we went, he didn't have to ask for it. He didn't have to demand it. It was assumed. He is the boss. Matter of fact, he was over 50 million square miles of ocean. North Pole to South Pole, from here to Guam, wherever it is, all Pacific. The dude was over all this stuff, right? He's not an admiral anymore. But in the military, if someone is above you, they're above you, and if they give you an order, you take it. You don't sit there and argue. With God, we're not even that serious about God as our leader. We argue with God. We complain to God. We whine at God. We think about whether we're going to obey God. And it shouldn't be that way. We should always acknowledge that we are his servant. He is never our servant, and it's always been that way. It's always been that way. So if you want to go from heaven, what kind of prayer?
Please.
Let me see the biceps.
Strong.
You want to acknowledge that you are God's what?
Servant.
You are God's what?
Servant.
And you have to acknowledge how the delayed is doing what to your heart?
Change.
Doing what to your heart?
Change.
One more time, doing what to your heart?
Change.
And how will God what your prayer?
Change.
Because if you are his servant, you should be only be praying for stuff that's going to enable you to serve him. Can you pray for stuff that's going to bless you? Yes. But in the end, how is it going to make you a better servant? Because you're always a servant to him, 24-7, 24-7. Okay. David, everyone say David.
David.
David went from being a shepherd to a what killer?
Giant.
What was the name of the giant he killed?
Goliath.
What was the name of the giant he killed?
Goliath.
How many days did Goliath talk trash before he killed him?
40.
How many days?
40.
Say it.
40.
Say it.
40.
Very good. He went 40 days, and 40 is the number of testing in the Bible. So Goliath came out, talked trash, 40 days, 40 days. The Jews were on one hill. The Philistines were on another hill. There was a valley in the middle. Goliath came out 40 days in a row, talked trash. David, when he heard it, he was a teenager. He went out to give his brothers who were in the army some food. And he heard Goliath talking trash. And what David said is, someone needs to shut him up. That's my language. And his brother said, why are you out here? He says, is there not a cause? Everyone say cause. Four words. Say cause. Say used to. That's actually two words, but just say used to. Say used to.
Used to.
Say cause. Say used to.
Used to.
Say victories.
Victories.
Say victories.
Victories.
Very good. Yeah, go ahead. Say it with confidence. Say it like you mean it.
Yes.
Very good. Okay. What David said was, is there not a cause? In other words, this guy is talking against our God. That's an important thing. When Amber started singing God Bless America, there were some people over here who were standing up. First service, there was about 20 people in the balcony who stood up. And out of reverence, were standing up. No, this is an important thing. We have a blessed country. I'm going to tell you why. Only reason, I'm going to tell you why. It's because of this right here. Now, I'm going to tell you this. And then everyone else stood up after a while. Everyone stood up, but out of respect, because God bless America. This is the only reason this country has been blessed is because of God. I'm going to tell you something that's true. You are watching our country drift away from God. And it is something we have to stand up for. You are listening to people redefine Christianity in their own terms. That's not biblical. This political election, this is a big deal. From a spiritual perspective, this political election is one of the strong undercurrents of this election is who is God and how are we going to serve him? And unfortunately, neither one of the candidates are down with this the way I believe that they need to be down with this. It's very sad. Our government is saying, no, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says this. You need to know that that is a very important cause because once God removes his hand from this country, it doesn't matter how smart you are, doesn't matter what you call yourself American, doesn't matter what your flag is, then our blessings will be lost. That's the only reason this country is blessed. Only reason. And the reason I say that is that that is a cause that we need to be a part of as Christians. Now, when every day you go to work and every day, and if anything, you just pray for our country. Just pray for our country. Do not get caught into the political version of Christianity. Do not get caught in. You are watching the state overtake the church. Don't get caught up into that. Make sure you know what the Bible says. Don't be manipulated by what's politically correct. But here's my point is that everybody in here, you have a person in your life who is losing a spiritual battle. It's your neighbor, it's your friend, it's your family member, whatever. That is a cause that you need to be involved in. That God has called you and equipped you to be a cause. If you've been through a divorce and God has got you through, there was somebody going through something, a divorce that you can help. If you've been through addiction and God got you through, there's someone in addiction that you can help. Amen. If you've been through depression or bankruptcy or whatever it is, God wants to use you to help them. That is the cause that you need to be involved in. Now, if you want to be a giant killer, you need to be someone who can identify those causes and confront them. David said, this is a cause, and I am going to go from being a shepherd to a giant killer, one, because I'm acknowledging that this is a cause I need to be involved in. I'm not just going to close my ears and walk away. And so every single one of you have a cause in your life. This is not about how much money can I make, how comfortable can I be. It's, Lord, what do you want me to do? And God will put on your heart stuff that is out of the left field. He'll say, I want you to go and serve orphans in Mexico. I want you to go minister to surfers on the beach. I want you to go into the mountains. Wherever it is, that's what you do. It's obedience. What is the cause? Because he has not created you just to have a job and a family. No, he has not. He created you to serve him. Now, do you have to have a job? Well, yeah, but that's not what he made you for. That's a means to an end. And so what is your cause? So if you want to go from being a shepherd to a giant killer, you need to identify a cause. Say cause. Say used to. Say used to. Say victories. Say giant. So here's what happened was David said, is it not a cause? So first you have to identify and fight for God's cause. Say cause when I say God's. God's what?
Cause.
God's what?
Cause.
God's what?
Cause.
Very good. Take a deep breath. We're going to say it four times. God's what?
Cause.
Pause.
Cause.
Very good. Okay. Then you also have to identify, God's cause. You have to identify your used to. David was keeping sheep. His father tells him to go to your brothers and give him some food. He goes to his brothers the same day, and he hears the Goliath talking, and he goes, he says, I can whoop him. They tell the king, there's someone out here that can whoop him. They bring him into the king, and the king says, can you whoop him? He says, yes, I can, because when I used to keep sheep, everyone say used to. He was keeping sheep that day. But it was that day that he realized, I am no longer a shepherd. I'm a giant killer. At some point in your life, you have to realize that God has now growed you up. Growed, G-R-O-D, that's a word. He's growed you up. Everyone say growed. God growed you up. Why? Because he's now saying, you're no longer doing that. I use that in your life to build a foundation. Now you're going to do this, and it can happen in one day. You can change just like that. I am no longer a non-Bible-carrying Christian. I'm a Bible-carrying Christian. I'm no longer a non-serving Christian, I'm a serving Christian. I used to do that. I don't do that anymore. What is your used to? And every day you got to have a used to. I shouldn't say every day. You're always growing into a different used to. You should be always growing if you're walking with God. Okay, to the day you die. And so you have to identify God's cause, your used to. God's what?
Cause.
God's what?
Cause.
God's what?
Cause.
And you're what?
Used.
You're what?
Used.
You have to focus on your past victories. Past what?
Victories.
Past what? What David said is, I killed a lion and a bear, and God did it. All the good things in my life came from God. He can do this. All the good things in your life came from God. He can do that. No challenge is too big for God. So one, you have to focus on God's what? God's what? God's what? Your past. Your past. Your past. Say it loud. And then confront your. Then confront your. Let's do one more. If you want to go from being a shepherd to a what killer?
Giant.
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 Very good. You have to identify God's what?
Cause.
Your what? Your what?
Jesus.
Focus on your past.
Jesus.
Your past.
Jesus.
And then confront your?
Giant.
Very good. Sit up straight. Let's do the whole thing. Tell the person next to you, I am ready like Freddy to rock real steady. Are you ready? Okay, let's cheer the Lord in sign language. Okay. We're in the book of first what? Verse what? First what? First. Very good. The book of 1 Samuel is a book of transition from to. Everyone say from to.
From to
is the leadership of Israel went from being from to being from, being influenced by, to being influenced by. The key, the three people in the book, the main key three characters are? Say it again. Samuel's mother was, and she went from being a to a, and she went from having what kind of prayer? To what kind of prayer? Do you give it to me? What kind of prayer? To what kind of prayer? Very good. Who was the first king in Israel's history? Who was the second king? Who was the second king? The time of the judges went, how many years was the time of the judges? How many? Very good. And it started when who died? Started when who died? Ended when who became king? Who became king? Very good. Samuel's mother was named who? And she went from being what? To being what? Being what? In the time of the judges, the Bible says, in those days there was no king, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Say it with me. In those, say it slow. Hey. Start over, say it slow. Everyone. Very good. Give yourself a hand. If you want to go from having what prayer?
Please.
To having what kind of prayer?
Please.
Give me double biceps. What kind of prayer?
Please.
Give me that.
Please.
One more time. We're going to do the Mr. America thing, okay? Give me what kind of prayer?
Strong.
One hand up. One hand like that. Look up. Are you with me? If you want to go from having what kind of prayer?
Please.
To what kind of prayer? You got to tell God how he will what from your prayer.
Amen.
How God will what?
Amen.
How God will what?
Amen.
You have to remind yourself of God that you are his what?
Servant.
You are his what?
Servant.
And you have to acknowledge how the delayed answer is doing what to your heart?
Amen.
Doing what to your heart?
Amen.
Doing what to your heart?
Amen.
If you want to go from being spiritually,
yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
To spiritually,
here.
Five words. Ah.
Amen.
Ah. Say it again. And then you write down what God says, and then you do what? Four words, four letters, starts with an O, B, E, Y. Say it again. Say it again. God cannot steer a car that doesn't move. If you're sitting there going, God, do it. No, you got to move. If you move, then God can steer you. But if you don't obey him, you're sitting still waiting for him to do it all. It ain't going to happen. Okay? Samuel went from being king.
Yes.
Samuel, did I say Samuel?
Yes.
My bad. Go ahead and laugh at me. Very good. Saul went from being king.
Yes.
Saul went from being king.
Yes.
Who was Israel's first king?
Saul
went from being, you didn't say that with confidence now. I was a little kind of concerned. Who was Israel's first king?
Saul.
He went from being king
yes.
to king. He went from being king
yes.
to being king
yes.
because he didn't do what God told him to do. So therefore, if you don't want to go from being elect to reject, you got to identify what you need to give.
Yes.
Give me the hand motion.
Yes.
One more time.
Yes.
Do it slow motion.
Yes.
You need to stay what in your own eye? I'm sorry. You need to stay what?
Small.
In your own?
Eyes.
And you need to take responsibility for your very good. David went from being a shepherd to a what killer?
Giant.
David from being a shepherd to a what killer?
Giant.
Very good. To be a giant killer, you have to identify God's.
Cause.
God's.
Cause.
Your.
Jesus.
Your.
Jesus.
Focus on your past.
Jesus.
Focus on your past.
Jesus.
And then confront your.
Giant.
Give yourself a hand. two things before you go. You might say, okay, hopefully you're not saying, what do I get out of that? Hopefully you're not saying that. But if you are, information. You have information. You have perspective. When you face a giant, ask yourself, what is God's cause? I have victories. God's done in my life. I can do this. When you're praying, tell God how he's going to benefit. Remind God, you're his servant. Remind God, yes, I've grown maybe impatient, but I need to check my heart. This is as simple as this. And if you take this, you just learn, I don't know, 40 or 50 things. Now you understand, and going from judges to kings, are you living in the time of the judges, or are you living in the time of the kings? What I mean by that is, are you one of those religious people that just have your rules, or do you have a relationship with God? Is your Christianity just, I do these five things a day and that's it, or a week? Or I have a relationship with God where he speaks to me like he did the judges? And so it's information, and it's information and perspective, and you think about it all the time. And when God speaks to you, you write it down, get your place, your time, and your pen and paper and your Bible, and you write down what God tells you to do, and you do it. Your Christianity will explode if you just take simple principles like that and do them. A lot of times people want to learn, I still don't understand what this term means, but they want to learn the deep things of God, but they don't know what to do with them when they get them. If you can't do anything with it, then what good is it to you? I'm not saying you don't try to learn deep things of God. Hearing God tell you what to do is a deep thing. I don't know how much deeper it gets than that. When God tells you, I love you, don't worry about that. I had a buddy of mine email me last night, and he got a girl pregnant. He knew he wasn't supposed to. He said he's so ashamed, blah, 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 blah. And the first thing I wrote back to him is, I love you and God loves you. You need to know that. Now, you know, yes, you knew better, and yes, you did wrong, but God loves you, and we need to move on. Okay, that's a deep thing, because if he doesn't know that and forgets that, the devil can ruin his life. So you want to make sure that these little simple things are the foundation of your relationship with God. Don't get top heavy with information you don't know how to use. You want to get bottom strong with foundational truths, these kinds of things. So get a place, get a pen, get a Bible, sit there, read, pray every day, hear God and do what he says. And trust me, if you can just get that, and I mean this with all sincerity, I've been in ministry for 20-something years, and if you could just get this simple thing, I need to hear God and do what he says. That is all the Bible. Matter of fact, Jesus said to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That sums up all the prophets and the law. What he was saying was, if you just read the whole Bible, all it comes down to is obeying God. That's what he said. That's exactly what he meant, is just obey God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. And then next week, we're going to start the second half, or the last part of 1 Samuel. We're going to talk about the conflict between David and Saul. And it's all about leadership. Everybody in here is a leader of somebody, if only yourself. We're talking about leadership, the difference between a very insecure, selfish leader and a very humble, secure leader. Let's all pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. I pray you bless us. And I pray, Lord, that as we drive around today, sit at home, conversate, that these facts would come to our mind, that we'd even read the book, 1 Samuel, now that we have an overview, and that we'd read it and ask you to speak to us, and that we'd write down lessons that you would teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. And let me say this last thing. It's not, you're not prohibited from going home and reading 1 Samuel. You can do that. God bless you.